Your Sexual Self Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Main, awesome wife and dog mom for life. I'm a sex therapist turned sex coach, and I run a successful business selling relationship enhancement products. I absolutely love talking about all things sex. So you can expect this podcast to explore all things related to women's sexual health because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help you discover and embrace what brings you pleasure so that you can own your sexual self. If that sounds good to you, then keep listening and let's fucking do this. Welcome back to your favorite sex podcast. Thank you so much for continuing to listen. One of our guests today, you may think that her voice sounds familiar because she's actually been a guest on the podcast before, and today she's joining me with her husband. I have on with me today James and Angela Mitchell, and we actually went through our sex coaching program together, Sex and Love University, that we did with the wonderful mastermind, Alexa Martinez, who you've also heard as a guest on this podcast. I'm telling y'all, this world of sex, I've connected with so many amazing people. And through our journey together and getting to know everyone within our group, I stumbled across James and Angela's story about how they were able to take their relationship to the next level. And I'm so excited to be able to talk to them today and kind of get insight about where they were at but previously and then where they're at now in their journey of sex and a little bit about them. So this is a power couple, y'all. Like I'm telling you, when you say goals, couples goals, relationship goals, like James and Angela are 100% it. So here's what they sent me for their bio. So we've got big dreams, lofty goals, and a right mind to create our most amazing life together. And that takes work, focus, and a plan amidst the hustle and bustle of life, careers, and three kids, plus a big, fluffy, oh my gosh, Bernie, this is the type of dog, I don't know what that is, Bernie Weefy, I don't know, named Mosey. Angela is the planner and counselor, and James is the strategist and visionary. So together, we are better than the sum of our parts, and we are excited to help plant the seed of expansive love in our most cherished relationship. They've been married since 2011, and they still got it. What a nice little juicy bio. I love that. So anyways, I'm super excited for you to hear from them today. Like I said, they are one of my favorite couples, definitely a couple that has inspired more sex, love, intimacy, and intentionality in my own marriage. So I'm really excited for you to hear from them today. Here we go. All right. So welcome to one of my favorite couples known as the Mitchells. How are you guys today?
Great.
Hey, how are you?
We tried like the Brad Jelena thing, so we like tried Jamjula for a while, but that didn't really wasn't a jam. Yeah.
I like Jamjula. That has a good flow to it. I also feel like it could be something that I might want to put on my toast for breakfast one day.
Yeah. Good.
I put it on my toast for breakfast a lot.
Yeah. Nice segue into our conversation today. So I'm excited. I mentioned we've had Angela on the podcast before talking about the importance of putting your kids on a nice time schedule. And in that conversation, we kind of brought up the fact that when doing that and having that set schedule for you guys, it's really made a difference in your marriage and gave you, the two of you, more time for connection, intimacy, alone time, whatever that might look like. And so I'm excited. I know we've only known each other for less than a year, but you are truthfully one of my favorite couples. So inspiring in everything that you accomplish and especially working together, because I know that could be a challenge as well. But tell us, I'll start by tell us the James and Angela story from the day one.
Day one.
So
which day one
are you gonna start with? We met through some mutual friends. Truth be told, one of my friends was like, what about James when I was single? And I was like, oh, he's too young for me. He's 3 years younger than me. He calls it four, I call it three. We round up and down. But anyway, so he was actually over one night with my roommate. And I had my son was about three at the time. And I put him to bed. I was like sweatpants, you know, contacts out, glasses on, messy bun, like the whole bit, right? Looking really hot. And he's over talking with my roommate, who's a friend of his, and he asks me, he said, so what's it like to date like a single mom? Because, you know, I'm getting to an age where that can happen. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, well, here's what you need to know. And I gave him like the whole playbook, right? Like
the whole playbook.
Yeah. You can't be spontaneous because you have to find a babysitter. Like there's just these things, you know. Anyway, gave him the whole playbook. Had no idea he was interested in me. Apparently he took good notes.
Great.
And then started implementing the notes I had given him on basically how to date me. So showed up at another friend's birthday party.
I knew Angela would be somewhere. So I went and to the party and I seeked her out.
There's a big snowstorm. I made him lay down in the snow and make snow angels with me.
Super not my jam.
Which now, knowing James, I'm like, oh gosh, he must have liked me because he would never lay down in the snow and make snow angels today.
I'm from Texas. I love snow. I just don't like to just lay in it for...
Be in it,
But I had a great reason. We lay in the snow and watch the snowflakes falling down with the street lamps. Call it love at first night. And we've been together ever since.
Yeah, that was 11 and a half years ago. Mm-hmm. Married for 10 now.
Yeah, throw a few more kids in the mix and you got a life.
Yep. We were insta family, my son and I. So, you know, just dad ring, as James said. And so, and then we've had two daughters together who are 8 and 6 now. And yeah, all the good stuff, all the doing it.
Everything but the white picket fence, pretty much.
Yeah, that is amazing. So what has it been like? So married 10 years, if we're speaking now specifically to your intimate life, where have those ebbs and flows been for you?
Well, initially great, right? I think as, you know, you're young and in love and, you know, all the good stuff there. We started having our daughters right away and James would joke, he said, well, let's just go ahead and do the kid thing and then I can get you all to myself again faster.
We already had a kid at home. Yeah. Right? And so we wanted more kids. So Brooklyn was born
right about our first anniversary.
5 days before our first anniversary. Yeah. And so easy math for my very religious parents.
She was conceived after the wedding.
Sure.
We had more kids right away. And so, you know, there was an ebb and flow with that, which...
Year one, I mean, just newlyweds, doing great. We hadn't ever done any sort of education around sex or intimacy before, and so we were just...
Both grew up in the South. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of, like, we had abstinence-only sex ed in North Carolina when I was growing up, which worked out really well, and we had lots of pregnant high schoolers every year. We hadn't had a lot of that, but just kind of, I would say it was pretty, like, normal, right? Mm-hmm. Like, for a normal couple, we are happy... satisfied.
And then kids,
and you're tired.
Your body's not yours, or her body's not hers.
Breastfeeding. Yeah. I'm like, don't touch my nipples. I might squirt milk at you, right? Kind of thing. There is some slowing down of things there. And then as the babies would get older, it'd pick back up again, you know, and then we'd have another baby. And, you know, so there was just kind of, I think, the somewhat natural ebbs and flows of having children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
it was time to go see Lex. So that's when I was kind of at an internal struggle with myself, right? Having desires that I wasn't communicating very properly. My desires that I wanted actually didn't really line up with what I really wanted, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having trouble decide, like I was struggling with the things that I wanted and feeling like it was okay, right? So in terms of different types of sex or different techniques or things that we wanted to try. And I was creating a lot of frustration for myself. And Angela was doing her best to hang in there with me. And so ultimately, that's when we found Alexa Martinez,
mm-hmm.
almost Bodich, at That Sex Chick. Thank you, Alexa. Love you. Yes. And we started working with her last summer, and we just kept on kind of moving through the process. And my gosh, like we opened up our communication. What she really helped me was to really learn more about myself, my desire, my connection to pleasure, and how to communicate those things based on now knowing what I really truly was after.
Yeah.
So
I think there was not to speak for you, but I'll speak for you. is, you know, even just like shame in our culture, right? Around certain types of sex or certain, you know, especially, like I said, we both grew up in the South, religious communities, and yeah, and so I think he was unraveling some of that as well.
I uncovered a very deep vein of shame that I pretty much just sat on the shelf and really hadn't remembered or thought about for the time. And so what I found was that uncovering that and really working through that on a personal level allowed me to better connect with Angela. And so that was probably one of the most, you know, impactful shifts on our journey right now.
And I think the other thing too is, so we, you know, which now is part of our work that we do, Love Intentionally, but we would on our own go away once a year and do our, what we call our marriage retreat, and go through all of our goal setting and intentions and planning our life together and having the big conversations. And there was about like 12 areas or so we'd go through as part of our process. And the sex and intimacy, we'd be like rocking, you know, like 10 or 11 of the areas. And then we'd get to that one and it wasn't bad, but we knew it could be better. Right.
It was glitchy.
Yeah. It was the one that if there was any triggers or pain, it would come up in that one. And so for a little while it had been like, okay, let's, you know, this is the one area that can cause us to stumble. And so we decided to do something about it. So we started actually like exploring it, investing time, money, energy into that area of life. And it's been amazing.
Solid investment.
Yeah. Worth every second, every penny we put into it.
Every resource.
Yeah.
Yeah. I appreciate that, because I think so often when people are working out to people like us that work in the sex field and they hear, you know, the, maybe the cost of it, or, you know, I know you two run retreats and things like that, and people hear this number and they, and even myself, I experience, I'm like, oof, you know, like that's, how do I feel about that? And when you kind of scale yourself back and you look at, you know, your sex life, your intimate life, in my eyes, like that is the foundation of everything, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with our partner, what we portray to our children about what a healthy marriage looks like, or a healthy relationship looks like. And that's something that you said on our interview together, Angela, is that you said isn't the greatest gift that we can give our children is a healthy marriage, right? Like that sets the tone for them throughout their entire life of what love looks like, what attachment looks like. I mean, so many different things. And so in part of, I'm gauging from you two, in part of being able to create that healthy marriage, that connection with each other, it was taking the time and investing in the sexual side of your relationship.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's also what distinguishes us from just being roommates versus actual partners, right? And having those, like, you know, some of our most connective experiences have come through intimacy and through sex, right? And then it finding that trickles out to the other areas of our life, right? So if we're staying deeply connected in those ways, then there's, you know, less, I don't know, resistance or resentment over, like, you know, who's making the kids lunch that day, or, you know, I don't know, just navigating the other parts of our life come a lot easier when we are deeply rooted and connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, solid. So you start about a year ago doing SLA with Alexa, and then you start doing these things, right? These things that are very new territory to you. Can you talk about that? Like, what, awkward? Did it all go smoothly? What was that like to start that sexual exploration with one another?
I found it liberating, I think is the word that comes to mind. Not always easy. There's some pain involved.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, big thing was straight up, I mean, it matters who says it, right? And so to have somebody like guiding us through a process of what's important, and one of the first things Alexa did was had us write a letter or a journal to ourselves about a painful experience in our sexual history.
Mm-hmm.
And then really working through that, and then go super woo, and then you burn the damn thing. You know, and we found a ton of power in releasing some of that old, you know, those old anchors that were taking, you know, holding us back. And then to have somebody guiding us through and helping us figure out what to do. And by the way, like, that was the best homework I've ever had, straight up.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was much more scholarly in school than James was, so he didn't always like homework. He liked this stuff. He loved Alexa's homework. Anytime she gave homework, he's like, I'm in.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I would say we, you know, I would say Intensely started this journey a year ago, but we, a few years ago, probably started just trying to create more, trying to create times when we were having sex that were more connective and intimate, mm-hmm. right? Not just like a quickie when you're both tired and, you know, that kind of thing, but actually mm-hmm. starting to schedule it, starting to like have times when we're like, okay, we have a place in our basement. It's a room we use for meditation and stuff, but it's a very kind of like sacred space for us. It's very private. And so we would schedule our basement sessions where we would go down there and connect and stuff. So that started more than a year ago, but I think our work with Alexa a year ago really started putting some pieces together mm-hmm. in deeper ways.
So the erotic blueprints. So mm-hmm. you might want to link that in the show notes, but we did our erotic blueprints a few years ago. And like started to really get some common language around like what Angela really wants in that space. In terms of all those, I'm a shapeshifter, which basically means like, what kind of sex do you want to have? And I'm like, what do you got? Like, well, let's do it.
It's really great to be married to a shapeshifter.
It's great. You know, and Angela falls into this more energetic, sensual category. And so to start and connect on ways that began to overlap, so they would, you know, fulfill me and my desires, but also really connect and fulfill her on her desires. You know, and so we came up with some ways to be in those spaces together. And that was really impactful. Interestingly enough, though, doing the erotic blueprint without any training behind it caused a huge fight for us at one point. Because I started like trying to express like my needs or desires in a different way. And ultimately, the shadows came out more than the light.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of shied away from that for a little bit and really focused on, you know, a more connected tantra. We're going to call it a word, like that's sort of the direction we started going. It's like, how can we really connect in that space?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said sex is a foundation for so many things. For us, it's a foundation as a connection to source, right? It allows us to, we listen to this podcast called Sex Your Way to Source, and it really resonated with us is that in those spaces, when we're divinely connected, that space can really open up our connection to source. And it just feels, that was a surprise,
mm-hmm.
a welcome surprise.
I think we've also used it a lot for our own healing around things, right? Like, kind of this idea of, you know, psychosexual healing, but the, you know, that we can use sex in ways that kind of open up and then release and heal some of those own old wounds we've also carried. So for us, it's become, granted, sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's quick, sometimes it's maintenance sex, right? But these other experiences we have, the deeper ones are healing ourselves, connecting our relationship, as well as connecting us to larger, whatever you choose to call that, the divine source, God. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Designed very intentionally to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I like in my own sort of research around sex magic, I love that it's like you, and this is right in your wheelhouse, like going in with an intention, going in with a goal and wanting and having the end result in mind. So when you're incorporating that within the two of you, what does the process look like? So how do you go about scheduling it? What does the pre stuff look like? What does it look like during, and then especially like how do you feel afterwards?
Yeah, so I'll start and I'll let you then chime in because he's the great stage setter for the event. So James is very creative, so that comes in handy sometimes. I do say all of his ideas are creative and some of them are good. but they're all creative.
That applies to all the areas.
Yeah, first off. So we really started, you know, 2-3 years ago kind of trying to have this more connective, intimate sex, right? So, and so that would be often scheduling it. So, you know, we usually look at our schedules on Sundays. It's kind of our relationship board meeting, as some people would call it. But, you know, where we meal plan, we do all the things. So part of that is we'll say like, oh, you know, Wednesday night looks like a good night for, you know, we'll call it a basement session because that's where we usually go.
Mm-hmm.
Because based on sports schedules, kid schedules, like, you know, all the factors.
Right.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, where yeah. I'm at in my cycle. I mean, all the things,
that's
right?
That's a big one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Where I'm at in my cycle is a big one, too. So if James started tracking my cycle, and so if there's men out there that are engaged with women, then that is a good thing, too.
Yeah, I can't wait to get advice to do that earlier. That was a game changer.
Yeah. Nice. So he has an app on his phone, and he tracks my cycle just like I do. So Anyway, so we look at all those factors, find, you know, a good time. Because some of it, the stage setting happens early, right? I mean, I've heard you talk about, Rachel, before, how, you know, women are crockpots, right? Mm-hmm. we need the time to kind of simmer and stuff. And so if I know we're going to do something on Wednesday night, you know, I might have an extra cup of tea with caffeine in the afternoon just to make sure I'm awake. Mm-hmm. Or we'll plan an easy dinner that night so that there's not a lot of, you know, effort and cleanup and stuff at dinner time. Make sure the kids get to bed on time, those kind of things. So we really started a few years ago kind of having this intentional, connective, you know, sex. We would go down. We would really kind of set the stage.
I start setting the stage in the morning. If we're going to go have a basement session at night, like, I'd love for her to wake up with words of affirmation. That's her favorite love language. Mm-hmm. So I want to get her in that space in the morning and then really try to maintain that energy and build it throughout the day. So ultimately, by the time we get down to the basement, we are in that right energy space as best as possible. So we don't have to spend a lot of our energy trying to get into that space.
Mm-hmm. You might send me some sweet texts during the day, you know, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Just, yeah, give me an extra squeeze, some kisses that, you know, when we pass in the kitchen, you know, just kind of like building that energy. Yeah. So, yeah, we really started doing that. We would... And so initially, before we really knew or had heard of sex magic, we were having these, you know, kind of rituals around it, around these more intimate moments. So we'd go down to our basement, we would, you know, smudge with some Palo Santo. James is great at putting on some great music.
Yeah. So T, I got to fast rewind a little bit, right? So gentlemen, pay attention to this, right? So it's ultimately like a checklist to make sure we get the space ready. In order for Angela to want to wear my favorite outfit, which is her naked, it has to be the right temperature in that room. So we live in Colorado. Our room's in the basement. It's a little chilly. So about 30 to 45 minutes prior to our session, I go downstairs and I turn on the heater in the room, right? We have a salt lamp. So I turn the salt lamp on. If we have the diffuser down there, I'm going to get some scents going in there. I turn on the music. So by the time we get down there, I have a little speaker in the room. It's actually quite a large speaker. It's really great. So, but at the same time, like I have all these things in place, the music. So by the time we get into the room, it's not, hey, you sit here and let's do this. I'll do this. Let me get these things ready and let's put the sheet down. Let's do all this other stuff. I want it to be prepared. Right. So she walks in and she lays down and I get in there and we can just like start to melt into the space. So it starts there. And while I'm doing all this stuff, right.
Showering up.
She's showering off, you know, showers off, you know, take any other accoutrements that we desire in the space. Our general personality is, I don't know what we want to do, so let's just have it there if we want it, kind of a thing, mm-hmm. instead of like really making it a very structured, planned kind of a deal. Although that does work in other cases. But yeah, there's a lot of that stuff that goes into water. Gotta have water. Mm-hmm. Definitely need to have coconut oil. You're gonna have to have some lube. We're in Colorado where cannabis is legal, all right, and so that's one of the substances that we do like to sometimes incorporate into our sessions, which can really increase the sensitivity and the awesomeness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so really like set the stage. And then, you know, once we're in the space, music is for us has been key because it really does set a tone. There are some great playlists out there. We like Dub Sutra.
It's an artist, a musician called Dub Sutra.
Yes.
Great to make love to.
Amazing.
And then we just, you know, we'll smudge each other. We'll take some deep breaths together. So it started off kind of just that, just the ritualistic part of it. And then with at that point, our intention was just always to connect, mm-hmm. right? So, like, let's just connect.
And have some really amazing sex in the meantime.
Yeah. So we would do some eye gazing. They usually say non-dominant eye to non-dominant eye for soul gazing or eye gazing. Mm-hmm. Breathing together. It would usually then turn into, like, a massage and then kind of go from there. So that was what we started with, which was really just great on our connection. Then fast forward to learning about sex magic. The other thing with our business, Love Intentionally, clearly it is about setting intentions, as you can tell from the name.
Yes.
In all these areas of our life, we have all these goals and intentions we were working on. So we learn about sex magic and it's like, oh, we can actually combine this connective, intimate experience with our intentions. And to get a little woo, like there is this a vibration, right, created when you're having sex and being intimate, right, and that energy that is created. And what we found is that if we then started focusing on some of our intentions that we have, then, and we're both focused on it in that high vibration energetic state that we create through this more ritualistic sex, then it's really like shooting off this energy and this intention into the universe at this like high vibration, right? Mm-hmm. And so we started combining then our intentions with these
visualizations, manifestations. So I mean, like, law of attraction is something that we are we're into. Sorry. And so to connect that with our intentions, with our intimacy and our pleasure was just like the right cocktail. Mm-hmm. It just resonated. One of the things that resonated most about sex magic is that sex is the energy that births things, right?
Yeah.
And so in that space of birthing, what do you want to give birth to in terms of this focus, this vision? And so taking that mentality into that ritual allowed us to kind of also think about, like, what are we daydreaming about? What are we creating? Which was also another really great aspect of it. So we get to focus on what we're creating and then just have an orgasm to it. Does not suck.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that, you know, one of the things Alexa said when she was first describing it, and we were like, oh, this sounds a lot like what we already do, but with this added component, she was like, you know, and if it doesn't work, you just had great sex. So we're like, oh, it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah.
But it's work.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell me, how has it worked? Like, what differences have you seen, or what things have the two of you made happen in since starting this?
Yeah, so what we added then, we would get into the space, we would, you know, do some soul gazing and some breathing, and then we would talk about what our intention would like to be. And sometimes we would have thought a little bit about it earlier in the day or mentioned it, but we would really get clear on our intention. You can do this as a solo activity, right? So for us, since we are together and we have this partner and we have a lot of, we're in business together and in family together, right? We have a lot of the same goals and intentions. So we do like to do it together and focus on the same intention, because we feel like the two of us, it just builds even more momentum, right? It's like 1 + 1 is more than 2, mm-hmm. right? But you could do it as a solo activity, absolutely. So for us, we share, then we speak out loud kind of what our intentions are and what we're focusing on. We try to get a visualization around it. Like, what does that That's look like?
So one of our very first ones is we really wanted to create this depth, or like kind of just create just a more solid foundation for our relationship.
My personality, I need safety and security. Those are two of my needs.
So I've been working to provide Angela with more safety and security, because it turns out that selfishly I get more of what I want when she feels that way.
If I feel safe and secure, then I'm really open to lots of things.
And I'm super open to helping her feel that way, right? And so, but the safety and security was we were discussing, what does that look like? Because for me, if we're having sex and I'm just like, yeah, safety and security, like, that's just not hot. It's not sexy. And it's also not super easy to remember what we're focusing on whenever we're in the middle of like this extremely pleasurable orgasm space, right? It's like, what were we focused on? Hold on. So that was where, like, it's a nest. What's safe and secure? A nest, right? Okay, so we started with this idea of a nest, and then the nest, you know, and over a few sex magic rituals turned into a nest in a petrified forest. Like, it's in a petrified tree, like solid. A fossilized, so solid-ass tree in the middle, and we decided it was in the Appalachian Mountains.
This is where I grew up.
Appalachian,
yeah.
I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and so ultimately, that's our visualization, you know, it's like, are we in our nest? And so as we're in the middle of making love and going through this ritual experience, it's like, hey, let's remind you, we're also tying it back. Hey, are you in the nest? Right. So as we visualize that, and as we birth that, like, that has created the safety and security in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first place we started.
And we felt like that was a really foundation for then other things,
everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, we need our nest.
We can do everything when we're connected and solid. Right, when we're on the same team and we're moving forward in the same direction, so we can take on the world when we're on our nest. And so I built the nest for Angela. What was super interesting to me is that it was a surprise, is how much I loved the nest. Hmm. Like, I'm like, I love this damn nest. Like, I couldn't be happier, you know? And so I thought that was pretty neat.
Because we wouldn't have guessed that maybe by his personality. That's less of a need. He needs variety, creativity, you know, those kind of things. So, so it was win-win. We really started with that as our visualization. And, you know, we talk about, like, what does it look like? What does it feel like to be in the nest? So, like, trying to engage all of your senses. Because the more you can do that, the more the visualization tends to work. So, and again, that was something that trickled out to other areas of our relationship, is having this nest, right, this solid foundation. And then, you know, we started kind of, once we established that, our intentions and visualizations became, you know, different things.
We took it into our business.
Yeah. So for, you know, Love Intentionally, you know, we started visualizing, you know, our whole goal is, what we do has really helped solidify our relationship and create this life of our dreams, right? The life we want. And we want to do that for other people. That's the whole reason we even started doing Love Intentionally and sharing it with others, was because we wanted to share that with other people. And so we started then, kind of as our intention and visualization for our sex magic rituals, to be about spreading that love out to other couples, right? And so seeing, taking what we have and then and visualizing it dispersing to all of our clients and people that we work with, and visualizing their success.
Yeah, having orgasms for our clients' success and reaching their goals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was fun. Yeah.
And that visualization, that was a fun one. So, like, so how, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. It was.
And we were crazy. We were just so, we were on the same page. Like, I was like, I'll think of what it looks like to me. You think of what it looks like to you. And we both came up with the same thing.
Like, our visualization around it was almost identical, which was pretty cool.
Pink love.
These little pink little light rays shooting out from us to all of the people we work with, and then from them shooting out to more people, creating, like, you know, this web, essentially.
Yeah.
Pink love. I don't know why it was pink, but both of us saw pink.
Both of us saw pink. Just go with it.
Yeah.
I can dig it. So, yeah.
So we've done that, you know, and it's been really fun to watch our clients have tons of success, right? You know,
in their own sex magic rituals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we've started sharing this idea with some of the couples we work with, and, you know, they're now adding it to their, you know, their routines and their, you know, their intentions. So that's been cool. Yeah, I mean, and sometimes it's been things, you know, it could be, you know, one of the things we were really, well, before COVID, we were really just busy, overscheduled in a lot of ways. A lot of good things, all things we loved, but we were very full of good things. And so one of the things we visualized was being fulfilled, like having our life that's full. We like things to be full, but relaxed. So we visualized, what does that look like? What does that feel like? You know, it may or may not manifest it in a global pandemic. Whoops.
That was right before the COVID hit. Yeah, like, let's be fulfilled and relaxed.
Be careful what you wish for, Angela.
That was a powerful sex magic right there.
Damn, yeah.
The world shut down. I like to think that wasn't all my fault, but yeah.
Wow. So if somebody is listening to this and they're like, all right, I think I want to implement this into my relationship, they have, I mean, tons of resources that you've already shared here. Also, James, I'm going to need you to write up that checklist for us to share on social media for people, the pre-ritual checklist. That was awesome. So somebody's like bringing this conversation up with their partner, and in my eyes, their partner's gonna be like, what kind of shit are you listening to? You want me to do what? Like, what would your advice be to them? Somebody that's just hearing this for the first time and is feeling like, I don't even know where to go.
I mean, I do think an easy place to start is just the intention of connecting, right? That was where we started. You know, you can get into like manifesting a new car or something later, but you know, for us, it was just like, how do we connect, right? And so I think step one is carving out the time, right? So setting a time, and sometimes we have to be a little flexible depending on the week. Like, it looks like Wednesday or Thursday are going to work better, right? And then we get to Wednesday and we're like, yeah, let's do it tonight, or let's wait till tomorrow, you know? So planning the time, and then, yeah, once you've carved it out, setting the stage, right? Like, you know, doing James checklist, right? Getting, engaging your senses, taking some breaths together, doing some massage, just really focus on that, connecting in that space and creating a intentional sacred space.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sacred space. Slow it down. And ultimately, I would say come up with your visualization of what your relationship visualization will be around your ultimate connection. Mm. Right? So if it's a nest, great. You're welcome to use that. If it's a, you know, kind of visualization of two trees growing together in spiral, right, with their roots going down, their leaves floating, you know, blowing in the wind, that's great too. I would say pick, have a conversation and work to pick out what that main visualization will be for your relationship.
Mm-hmm. What does it look like? And then what does it feel like? Right? Like really try to tap into that. What does it feel like when we are connected? Maybe you think back on a time where you felt like you really were more connected in your relationship, right? Or, you know, or dream about it, right? What would be that? So feel, what does it look like? What does it feel like? And then just slow down, enjoy the space, engage the senses, I think is a great place to start, right? And then you can start upping the ante a little bit. You can get a little more out there with your intentions and your visualizations. You can journal about them if that helps mm-hmm. beforehand.
Yep. You could do more like sound, you know, I mean, just saying the things while you're in the middle of your lovemaking ritual.
Well, that is a good point. Sometimes James has to remind me because I can get a little lost in the moment. And then he's like, you know, pink love. Are you pink love? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be thinking about pink love.
Fulfilled and relaxed. Like, I'm so fulfilled and relaxed right now.
Yeah. So it is helpful. You can get lost in a moment to remind your partner, like, to speak the things out loud, even, you know.
Slow it down.
Mm-hmm. Slow it down. Yeah.
Yeah. And so would you recommend people do this on a monthly basis, more than monthly, weekly? What is kind of the norm, do you think, for most people?
I would say at least monthly. I would say we probably shoot for weekly to have one of those more intimate
connective experiences. Mm-hmm. But not always a sex magic ritual.
Yeah. And I would say realistically it's probably every couple weeks that
once every 3 weeks for us on that ritual. We really strive to have a basement session once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not we decide to create that sex magic manifestation aspect of it, you know, sometimes we're feeling it. Sometimes we're like, I just want you. I just want to be in space.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about
our nest right now. I just want to get lost in it, you know, and so we'll do that instead. But
more the merrier. Yeah. Doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Once a week would be great.
Yeah. And I would wonder too, for people that are maybe wanting to try this solo first, I think that for me personally, that's where I started. I would refer to this same thing as masturbation manifestation. And then we're in SLU and they're talking about sex magic. I'm like, what the hell is it? And I'm like, I do that already. What do you mean? And now I'm like, I can do, I never even would have thought to do it and incorporate it with my partner. And I think it would be awesome if people were able to take this time for themselves and do these rituals solo and also with their partner on, like you said, at least a monthly, if not weekly basis. Yeah, sooner, the more the merrier, because if it works, and I think part of it working is having the belief in that it's working. What do you have to lose? Like you said, even if it's not works, you're having some epic sex with yourself or with your partner. So why not?
And also gaining more clarity on what you want, what you are working to create, mm-hmm. and what your intention is for this life together. Take the sex out of that, and that's worth it all together. I mean, that's what we do in our retreats, and we don't necessarily facilitate group sex magic rituals. Right?
You go over here. Let's watch you all do your rituals.
Yeah, I'll give you some pointers.
Yeah, we're not doing that at our retreat. So, yeah, but just even the sharing your goals, your intentions, your dreams with your partner,
mm-hmm.
It's really powerful in and of itself, even mm-hmm. if you don't have sex afterwards. Yeah.
Wow. This has been.
I was going to say, I do agree with you. I think the you know, even practicing on your own first can help, you know, can help just get you into that space and understand and, you know, the visualizing and all that stuff.
And if your partner is resistant to the idea, start your own practice and visualize during your own sex magic, I call it metabation. You know, that your partner will join you in that space. Mm-hmm. Start to manifest and set that up.
And that they might see it's working for you, right? And then, you know, we'll decide, well, yeah. And again, what do you got to lose, right? Even if it's, you know, you just had great sex. Like, right? Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. So. Great tip, for sure. So, okay, you mentioned your retreats, and I would love for you to share with the people the type of work that you're doing with a couple and the type, what Love Intentionally is all about. And definitely, I know you have a retreat coming up later this year. I'm sure people are just dying to get out of their house and learn how to have better sex and better love with one another. So tell us about that and how people can find you.
Yeah, great. So Love Intentionally, it started as our own thing. We just did for ourselves. We would go away once a year, have all the big conversations, set goals together, intentions, kind of plan out our life. It was like strategic planning for our life. He used to do that for his business, and we're like, why aren't we doing that for our life?
Strategic, like, entrepreneurship planning. Yeah. You know, Angela's a counselor, so she wanted to talk about the depth and the connection.
Yeah, and then it's part depth and connection, part strategic planning. Worked great for us. We started achieving our goals and doing all the things we wanted, and so friends started noticing and asking, so started sharing with them, and then, you know, at their encouragement, we're like, share this with the world. Like, this is, so it's really intended for kind of your average couple, right? We don't do couples in crisis. We recommend counseling for those couples. I am a counselor, so thankfully I'm able to help navigate the hot spots that might come up for your average couple. But if you're on the brink of breaking up, you know, you need more intensive help, and there's lots of stuff out there for those couples. But what we found was there wasn't a lot for the average couple who's just like, yeah, our life is good, but like, we want it to be like great, you know, or how do we like stay on the same page and make sure we stay connected and make sure we're reaching our goals we want, and we don't look back and go, oh, we really wish we had done that 10 years ago, you know, kind of thing. So we do a few different things. Our big thing, our retreats. So we'll have about 5 couples. And we just help guide them through the process, through the planning, through some activities, increase depth, the connection, some of the works in their individual couples. And then we come together. What we found is our couples at our retreats love our debrief sessions, when we all come together and share ideas and learn from each other. So yeah, they're usually 3-ish days, weekends, Friday to Sunday. We do have an international one coming up this summer in Costa Rica.
If anybody's got antibodies, vaccines, or just wants to travel,
yeah,
we've got a retreat. It's coming up on June 26th through 30th in Montezuma, Costa Rica, on the Nicoya Peninsula at the Lang Lang Resort. We spent our honeymoon there. It was so beautiful. Amazing. So we're excited to go back.
Yeah, it's private beach. They got an awesome restaurant on site with delicious food. Each couple will have their own private, like, beachfront bungalow.
Yep.
Our gatherings will be outside, so with
open air, we're respectful based on everybody's desires around their safety for COVID and where they're at. So we meet you where you're at for COVID and your relationship. We're in Colorado, so if you want to come to colorful Colorado and enjoy the Rocky Mountains, we have a retreat June 4th through 6th. That's a Friday through Sunday retreat, and that is in a town called Red Feather Lakes, just outside of Fort Collins, Colorado. And we have another one in that same location at the middle of August. So
we do retreats. We've also offered some online courses for couples that, you know, Zoom is easier, and we'll take them through like a 5-week mini course. And we also do one-on-two coaching with couples. So the two of us will coach two of you.
Yeah. So if anybody's curious to learn more about this sex magic ritual, that's where like an individual coaching comes in. So if you, we do offer different programs on coaching depending on what your goals are. We'd be excited to connect on that. We have an Instagram at loveintentionally.co. It's also our website, www.loveintentionally.co. And the lovely Rachel Mann, I'm sure, will link that down below.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if they're interested in getting more info on the retreats or sign up for a retreat, go to your website.
Yep. Go to our website.
And they can also reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook.
Channel. If they've got questions, want to connect, we would love to chat with you about your goals, your intentions, and how you see sex magic helping you co-create the life of your dreams.
Love it.
Okay. Our finances. finances or any of the other topics we cover.
Goal setting.
All of them.
Communication.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys are just the perfect people to be running this too, because you're living it, you're doing it, it's a part of your day-to-day, and so that makes then teaching it so much easier for the consumer.
Yeah, our three kids love getting practiced on all the time.
Practice parenting.
Practice parenting, yeah.
Well, great. So thank you again. I so appreciate just the two of you being so open. I know it takes a lot to be this vulnerable person and share about your sex life and share where you were at even before it started. And just thank you, because this is something that people need to hear and so resourceful and so jam-packed with information that I'm sure that you will be getting some inquiries about your retreats and the type of work that you're doing with couples.
We appreciate you, Rachel. I love you, Rachel.
You're awesome.
Badass.
I miss seeing you on a weekly basis, that's for sure.
I know. Me too.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you loved it, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a thing. And if you loved it so fucking much, be sure to leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next week. And until then, keep owning your sexual self.